Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Understanding the skeleton brings attention to resistance training, specific essential minerals and vitamins, hormone interaction, and the prevention of osteoporosis, fracture, and sports-related injuries. Our skeleton is what enables us to stand erect and achieve extraordinary feats of artistic grace, athletic endeavor, and physical endurance. It supports surrounding tissues and protects vital organs and other soft tissues of the body. The skeleton gives attachment to the muscles, providing leverage and assisting in body movement. It also acts as a storage facility for lipids in the form of yellow bone marrow. Red marrow produces red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets. Of course, bones store many mineral salts such as calcium, zinc, iron, magnesium, and phosphorus. The human skeleton is comprised of 206 bones and is divided into the axial skeleton, which includes the head and trunk, and the appendicular skeleton, which includes the arms and legs. The bones are the framework of the body and are attached to each other at joints. The study of bone structure and related disorders is known as osteology. Contrary to appearance, skeletal tissue is very much alive with its own system of blood, lymphatic vessels, and nerves. The entire skeletal system consists of cartilage, bone tissue, bone marrow, and a surrounding membrane called the periosteum. Bone, or osseous tissue, is a form of connective tissue consisting of four types of cells. Its basic composition is 25% water, 25% protein, and 50% mineral salts. Poor hydration and insufficient protein intake contribute as much to faulty bone development as does inadequate intake of essential minerals. The mineral salts in bone consist mainly of a crystallized form of tricalcium phosphate called hydroxyapatite, and to a lesser degree, calcium carbonate. Both are available in supplement form, as well as calcium citrate, lactate, malate, gluconate, amino acid chelate, etc. The hardness, pliability, and tensile strength of bone is a function of balance between its mineral density and collagen fiber matrix. Small spaces throughout bone tissue act as channels for blood vessels which feed and nourish the living tissue. Compact or dense bone has fewer spaces and is harder than spongy bone, which contains red bone marrow. Most of the bones of the body are classified according to their shape. Long bones, such as the femur or thigh, and the phalanges or fingers, are mainly compact. Short bones are mainly spongy and cube-shaped, like the carpal bones in the wrist and the ankle or tarsal bones. Flat bones are thin, like the breastbone or sternum, and the shoulder blades, also called the scapula. Irregular bones include the backbone or vertebrae, and they're complex in shape. Two other types of bones are classified according to location. Sutural bones are small and are found in such places as the skull or between joints. Sesamoid bones, like the kneecaps, or what we call the patella, are also small and wrapped in tendons. The actual cells of bone include osteoprogenitors, which develop into osteoblasts, osteoblasts, which are active in bone formation, osteocytes, the principal cells of mature bone, and osteoclasts, which are associated with bone resorption. Resorption means the loss of substance by destruction. Osteoclasts are the cells that initiate the breakdown and absorption of bone within the body. Osteoprogenitor cells are derived from mesenchyme and precede the formation of osteoblasts, which secrete collagen and eventuate into the primary mature cells of the skeletal system called osteocytes. Osteoclasts develop from circulating monocytes in the blood. They are found on the surface of bone and are chiefly involved in the destruction of the bone matrix. To a large degree, the composition of bone is regulated by the amount of strain or pressure on the bone. This is a function of both gravity and the influence of muscle contraction. More strain leads to greater mineral integration and a favorable influence on bone density. Inactivity is harmful to our bones and accelerates porosity and decay. But remember, activity must include the use of all primary muscle groups under load, as the impact of weight-bearing stress is generally site-specific only to those regions of direct muscle involvement. As muscles shorten, they force movement by tugging on bones through attachment by tendons. Walking is useful for enhancing bone density in the pelvis, hip, femur, and lower region of the vertebrae, but provides little, if any, stimulation in the ribs, scapula, or humerus. Walking is best combined with load-bearing activities such as weight training, or even your own body can be used to achieve this end, such as push-ups or chin-ups. The main factor is to create some resistance with load that stimulates bone density. Every day, millions of old bone cells die off. The process of replacing these old bone cells with new ones is called bone remodeling. Bone remodeling is best achieved when the fibers of the bone matrix are exposed to the right amount and form of weight-bearing stress. Pressure on these sites generates the bioelectrical flash or spark, which ignites the continual process of growth. Skeletal tissue serves the body as a major calcium storage facility. In fact, it contains 500 to 1,000 times more calcium than all other tissues combined. But healthy, strong bones also contain many other minerals, including phosphorus, fluorine, iodine, iron, magnesium, manganese, silicon, and vanadium. So optimum bone health depends on more than just taking extra calcium or magnesium. Without the building blocks necessary to create and form a solid skeletal matrix, one cannot expect to build or preserve a strong skeletal foundation. Adequate protein and several vitamins and hormones are also essential to the remodeling process, which includes the regulation of bone formation, repair, and growth. Bone calcium acts as a blood calcium buffer. Calcium is released when blood levels decline, and calcium is taken back when blood levels rise above correct levels, as defined by the body's ability to regulate homeostasis. Two hormones directly control the release of calcium from the bone matrix to maintain adequate levels in the blood. The first is parathyroid hormone, and the second is calcitonin. Parathyroid hormone released from the parathyroid glands increases the rate of bone resorption. It stimulates osteoclast cells to secrete protein-digesting lysosomal enzymes and several acids that digest collagen and dissolve bone minerals. Degradation of bone matter causes the release of calcium ions, which increases the concentration of blood calcium. Parathyroid hormone also helps recover calcium from urine and plays a role in the formation of vitamin D in the kidneys. The tiny parathyroid glands may number as few as 2 or as many as 8 and are located on each side of the thyroid gland. The internal secretion of the parathyroid glands affects the metabolism and serum concentration of phosphorus and also plays a role in the regulation of magnesium. Magnesium deficiency inhibits the bone-building activity of osteoblast cells. Calcitonin is secreted by the parafollicular cells of the thyroid gland and, to a lesser extent, the thyroid and thymus glands. It inhibits osteoclastic activity and lowers blood calcium by inhibiting bone resorption. In essence, it has the opposite effect of parathyroid hormone. Skeletal strength and density is a function of adequate nutrition and sufficient weight-bearing exercise. Weakness, porosity, and sensitivity to injury or fracture are inevitable when these factors are ignored. The ingestion of sufficient quantities of macro minerals, micro minerals, and trace elements are important factors for building mineral-rich bones and teeth. Bone density is incredibly important and is a solid measure of optimum health. Calcitriol, the most active form of vitamin D, plays a dual role as both a vitamin and a hormone. It promotes calcium and phosphorus absorption from the intestines, stimulates removal of calcium from bones, and also retards calcium loss in urine. Several other hormones and nutrients influence bone remodeling. A deficiency of vitamin C, required for collagen synthesis, results in a weak skeletal structure. Vitamin A, or retinol, affects bone resorption and controls the activity of both osteoblasts, which build bone, and osteoclasts, which tear it down. Low levels of vitamin A can alter the hollowing and reshaping of bones, especially after injury. Magnesium activates phosphatase, an enzyme involved in building bone. It's also necessary to help make vitamin D more biologically active. Manganese, silicon, copper, and zinc help create and maintain the connective tissue matrix upon which bone minerals are deposited. Silicon is an interesting substance. It's essential to bone hardness and flexibility. Diets rich in organic vegetal silica create bones that contain significantly more collagen. Silica is responsible for directing the flow of minerals into bones. 1 to 2 teaspoons of organic silica powder will go a long way to help remineralize damaged bones. In his book, Biological Transmutations, French professor Dr. Curvran states that in living bodies, with the assistance of enzymes and cell energy, silicon actually changes or transmutes to calcium according to this formula. 14 silicon atoms plus 6 carbon atoms equals 20 calcium atoms. I think biological transmutation is a fascinating concept and something that science has yet to come to terms with. Vitamin K is also needed for the synthesis of osteocalcin, a protein essential to bone formation and repair. Boron, another element, is involved in the formation of the active forms of estrogenic hormones. B12 plays a role in osteoplast function. Human growth hormone and the thyroid hormones thyroxine and triiodothyronine affect cartilage growth and replacement. Human growth hormone influences growth patterns of every tissue in the body. Skeletal tissue is also affected by the male and female sex hormones. Estrogen and various androgens promote the manufacture of bone tissue throughout life and affect ossification during growth by aiding osteoblastic activity. Insulin, another hormone, besides being influenced by the consumption of carbohydrates and even proteins, also influences the maturity and setting of the bone matrix. 99% of the calcium in the body is stored in the bones and teeth. The other 1% circulates in the blood, contributing to many significant functions. Calcium helps regulate the heartbeat, aids in nervous system function, muscle control, enzyme systems, hormone secretions, and is involved in blood coagulation. If the body does not have enough circulating calcium for these functions, it will simply extract what it requires from the bones. This process can eventually lead to osteoporosis, characterized by decreased bone mass and increased susceptibility to bone fracture. Osteoporosis is known as the silent epidemic. It is a condition of porous bones which in North America affects about 10% of the population. Average bone loss measures about 1% per year after age 35, 3% per year during the first 5 years of menopause, and about 1% per year thereafter. The best time to optimize, build, and maintain bone mineral density is during and immediately following growth. An increase of only 3 to 5% in bone mineral density correlates to as much as a 20 to 30% reduction in fracture risk. Children who participate in activities with higher loads of stress, things like gymnastics and jump training plyometrics, exhibit higher bone mass than children who participate in activities of lower stress load, such as swimming. Dr. Avery Feigenbaum, PhD, University of Massachusetts, Boston, says 7 to 12-year-old kids can increase their strength by up to 40% if they follow an 8 to 12-week program of strength training. Such activity is of particular benefit to pre-adolescent girls who can increase bone mineral density and build up their bone bank to help prevent osteoporosis. The American College of Sports Medicine now officially endorses weight training for children, but recommends adult instruction and supervision, proper warm-up and cool-down, and a medical exam if there are any existing health conditions. Other specifics include 1 to 3 sets of 6 to 15 reps 2 to 3 times weekly on non-consecutive days, avoidance of maximal heavy lifting, and emphasis on technique and safety rather than the amount of weight. One of the best things I ever did was start resistance training at age 12. It improved my strength, improved my diet, prevented sport-related joint injuries, gave me more self-confidence, and taught me something that I think is lacking in today's inactive youth. That's the big D word, discipline. Weight-bearing exercise, which is the only safe and natural way to create a truly anabolic drive in the body, compensates for the catabolic toll that life and nature takes on skeletal muscle, cartilage, connective tissue, ligaments, tendons, and bone mass. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Next month, I'll look at why we have such a high percentage of osteoporosis in North America and discuss the best way to build healthy, strong bones for life. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Albert Einstein. When you are courting a nice girl, an hour seems like a second. But when you sit on a red-hot cinder, a second seems like an hour. Now that's relativity.